Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 150, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first book of Kings, in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 22 through verse 53. 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 53. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Kings 8, verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David my father, and that thou promised him, thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, and that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, in which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. There be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning this a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, and we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. Give them compassion before them who carried them away captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, As thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have together read out of thy holy word that earnest prayer and supplication of thy servant in the dedication of thy holy house so many years ago, wherein he did beseech thee that thou would hear from heaven thy dwelling place, when thy people would sin against thee, when they would turn again, when they would call and make their supplication unto thee that thou would hear, and when thou hearest, forgive. And Lord, then we are in no different need than thy people so long ago. And we ask of thee that same petition of thy servant, that thou from heaven thy dwelling place wouldest be pleased to look down upon us also, upon whom the ends of the world are now come, in the last dispensation of the kingdom of God upon this world, before that final dispensation, when thou wilt come in thy glory. Lord, thou still hast a people who sin against thee and who must be chastised by thee, who must be brought into the land of the enemy, who must experience famine when the heavens do give forth no rain, when thou dost chastise them for their iniquity. Then thy church that has not changed from the beginning of the time, but they remain in and of themselves the wayward sheep of thy flock. Lord, then it is necessary that thou would instruct and thou would teach them. Then it is necessary that they may learn and be taught. But oh, do give them also that cry, that they may supplicate unto thee, that they may turn unto thee with all their soul and with all their might and with all their heart, and that they may experience that thou indeed art the true and the living God. Lord, when there also may be the strangers, when there may be others come into thy house, oh, that they also may receive that same prayer as thy people, that they also may be given to see their great need, and that they also may cry to heaven and be given to know that thou art the living God. Lord, wilt thou remember us then also in this time, and that thou would lead and guide us as thou hast guided and led all thy people even from the very beginning. Then it is so necessary to be instructed in the knowledge of ourselves, that we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee, that we may learn to truly humble ourselves in the sight of the living God, that we may need also a mediator for our poor soul. Oh, that we might learn to cry out for the help of thy dear Son, even as those that were in great need when thou wast upon the face of this world, that may cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, wilt thou give that in this day also, the day in which we live in with our children, may also be a day that thou dost appear, that thy Holy Spirit may come, and that it may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us from time to time, that there may be those who may come up to thy house, who in their great need
with their incurable disease of sin may learn to cry to Thee, O Lord, remember us in mercy. O be not silent unto us, lest if Thou be silent unto us, we become like them that go down into the pit. But wilt Thou show forth Thy countenance, the light of Thy face, that it may shine upon us in our poor days? And wilt Thou keep us from going in the way of the world, that is a way that ends in death, that eternal death from which there is no coming back anymore? Lord, when we are in this day of preparation, a preparation for that great eternity that is coming, and when we have been given only one life, a life either to lose or to gain, oh, we beseech Thee to bind upon our hearts the seriousness of that life, and that we may forsake every former friend, that we may turn unto Thee, and that we might live. Wilt Thou look upon all those to whom Thy word does come over the length and the breadth of the world? Oh, that it may be seen also in the world, and that it may be seen by the enemy, that it may be seen by the stranger, that there is a living God, that there is a people that serve, that know, that love, and that are served out of that living God, that may receive everything from Him, and that so there may be a peoples that are so jealous, and that they may also come. Lord, send therefore more servants into Thy vineyard, that truly may be thrust forth by Thee for the salvation of sinners, before that it is forever too late. Wilt Thou look upon therefore the mission fields also, when Thy word comes unto men, and Thou knowest how often that it is in a way of deceit, that something is being placed into the hands of men, and that men are being deceived even under Thy holy word. Lord, we beseech Thee to open the eyes of those that bring Thy word, even those who bring it deceitfully, that Thou may open their eyes, and that they may be given to see Thy truth. Then there shall be such a great change, and that the misery of man may truly be opened unto him, unto the people, and that the need for a mediator may be pressed upon their souls. The Lord, wilt Thou look upon all that rule and reign over us? Wilt Thou supply in the days to come, and in the months to come, when elections will be held, O Lord, that Thou would watch over it for good? And wilt Thou look upon us in this world, when men do fight with one another? Lord, wilt Thou Thyself give peace? And wilt Thou give solution to all the difficulties? And may Thou remember the soldiers in the warfares. Wilt Thou bring them safely home again? O go Thou before us. Lord, remember all the needy ones, all the afflicted ones, whether soul or body, all that have not enough food, clothing, and shelter in this world. And be with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that have serious diseases, all those that miss their loved ones, all that must experience the results of sin in an outward way in this world. Oh, help in the misery that is experienced, that Thy long-suffering hand may be seen, and that men may be drawn to Thee thereby. Go with us also in this afternoon hour. Lord, make the preaching of thy holy word an easy and a loving task. And wilt thou give thy spirit in a rich measure, that it may go from pew to pew for instruction in righteousness, for that conviction of sin that we cannot miss, for the glory of thy holy and thy worthy name, and for the salvation of our poor, never-dying souls. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 221, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, it was not the purpose of the Lord that the children of Israel would always remain in the land of Egypt. That was not the country that had been promised unto them. Therefore, the Lord has made known unto Abram that he will surely bring them up from thence. There were, of course, many ways in which the Lord could fulfill this promise. There were many circumstances by which the Lord could bring that people again out of that land of Egypt. It is possible that we would read in the Word of God that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Pharaoh, that he would let the children of Israel go. The same as we read that he has stirred up that spirit of Cyrus as so many years later. And yet, we do not read it. And why not? We can only say, because it was the good pleasure of the Lord to do it otherwise with his people. What is the purpose of the Lord in all of his dealings with his church? That is the honor and the glory of the Lord. How is it that the Lord is going to receive this glory? The Lord is going to let his people know from what? That he is going to deliver them. Therefore, the Lord said to Abram, know of a surety, and that thy seed shall be in a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Children of Israel shall experience, shall know from what they have been delivered. It is the knowledge of misery which is making that knowledge of deliverance all the more perceptible in the life of his people. And thus, they will not only know from what they have been delivered, but they also shall know that they have been delivered. In the last few weeks, and we have considered together something of the misery in which man has brought himself by nature. And that has been already now for some weeks. And there are those who, when they hear of that misery, and then time after time, then they are beginning to mock with it. And why? Because they say to that people that you love your misery. And then especially when in the life of a person that way can be so long before that the Lord brings them to any knowledge of that deliverance. Do you think that's true, young people? That the people, they are speaking about that misery because they love their misery. Oh, that is not true at all. But there is something that they experience. And what is that?
that is that they are not able to deliver themselves from that misery. That they are not able to lift one finger toward their own salvation. Think only of the children of Israel in bondage in that land of Egypt. That is the way, that is the experience of the true church.
And thus our fathers continue. In Lord's Day 5, questions 12 through 15. Question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer, God will have his justice satisfied. And therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. So far, our Lord's Day. The satisfaction of God's justice. First, the necessity of this satisfaction. Second, our impossibility to make this satisfaction. Third, the sort of mediator needed to make this satisfaction. The satisfaction of God's justice, first, its necessity. Second, our impossibility. And third, the sort of mediator needed to make this satisfaction. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Congregation, may you ever come there. May you ever say, as we may read it now in our Heidelberg Catechism, that I deserve temporal and eternal punishment. No, we do not ask if you may say it with your lips. We may all say it with our lips. Our question is, has the Lord ever now brought you to such a place? What place is this? That is the place of bowing under the righteous judgments of God, as they are rightly deserved by us. That is the place of allowing God to be God
in his righteous judgments, even though those righteous judgments are against me. That is the place where the honor of the Lord comes in the first place, comes above myself, and even above the salvation of my soul. No, that is not a place that man comes to by an intellectual knowledge. That is impossible. Joseph, he has much labor, he has many dealings in order to bring his brothers in this place. And as long as we are untouched by God's Holy Spirit, then we do not come to such a place. Then we have no love to God at all. No, then we have only love to ourselves, and we only want to justify ourselves. Doth not God do injustice to man by requiring of him that which he cannot perform? Is that not unjust when we are not able to do it? Why does he then yet still find fault? Will God suffer such disobedience to go unpunished? Or will he allow it still? Is then God not also merciful? Or will he not descend from his throne of justice, that he may ascend his throne of mercy? But what a difference when by that Holy Spirit of the Lord, the man is brought to bow under that righteous justice of God. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. That is, congregation, a blessed place. This is what we may call already the first rest. Because here it is that the fighting stops. Here it is that the rebellion in the heart of a man comes to an end. Here it is that man accepts his own guilt, and he ceases to justify himself before God. Blessed place. Not only a blessed place, but also a necessary place. Why? Because the Lord does not justify a man that is still justifying himself. The Lord does not justify a man who is not yet even acknowledging the place where truly that guilt is lying. But he justifies sinners, self-condemned, hell-worthy sinners, sinners that deserve temporal and eternal punishment. He justifies those that come and approach unto him with the ropes hanging about their necks. When David kept silence, then he says, my bones, they waxed old through my roaring all the day long. But when he acknowledged his sin, and when his transgressions he did not hide anymore, then the Lord forgave the iniquity of his sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Or may we ever be brought in that same place as God's servant. Behold, shapen in iniquity, in sin, did my mother conceive me. What did his son say? His son Solomon, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and he that forsaketh his sin, he shall have mercy. That is why we say that is not only a blessed place, but it is also such a necessary place. May we ever come there, since by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Here is a sinner who has tried everything to come out from under that punishment, all of his own devices, and he can no longer. Here is a sinner who has lost the battle. Here is a sinner for whom God has become too strong and who has to acknowledge the righteous judgment of God. Now, what is their full expectation? A full expectation is that that righteous punishment is indeed going to come upon them. That is their full expectation. If they did not expect it, they had not held out so long, but they cannot see any other way than that righteous judgment of God has to come upon me. Now they want to know the truth. And they will confirm the fear of their own heart. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment? Again, be received into favor. Is that now a man, congregation, who loves his misery? Far from it. Or he fears the greatest punishment. What do we read? The greatest punishment he fears is that he will ever and forever be outside of that blessed favor of God. And he fears to hear that awful sentence of God, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And still, with everything that he deserves, and he's still asking, is there no way? Is there no way to escape that punishment? Is there no way then that I may be received yet into that favor of the Lord? What is the answer of our catechism? What is the answer of the Lord unto his people? God will have his justice satisfied. And you know what the idea is in our world today? How cruel. How cruel. Why? Because, congregation, the hypocrite is not able to bear the truth of God. Then they say, that is now a hard answer. But for this people, this is not a hard answer. And why not? What did we say they expected? Everything outside of hell is undeserved for the people. And for them it is a wonder that the Lord has not already cut them off and cast them away from His presence forever and forever. But you say, is not this answer then the end of all the hope of that people? No. No, it is not the end of all the hope of that people. It is not the end of the hope of that people who have been given ears to hear by the Lord Himself. Ben-Hadad and his servants, they came, we read, with the ropes about their neck. And when they came in such a way, then we read they were listening and listening and listening. For what? Or if any good thing may be heard from the king, if there was something so small that the king might say, that might give them a little hope that the king was not going to destroy them. And thus the people, they are listening, they are listening, they are looking. Oh, if there was but a thread that they would be able yet to catch hold of. That their life may not be taken away, that they may not be destroyed. God will have His justice satisfied. Do you know what is a wonder to that people? When they have asked such a question, is there no way to escape that punishment? Is there no way to be received into favor? And then the wonder to that people is that they have not received this answer. There is no way. Because your sin is too great. And that is not the answer. God will have His justice satisfied is the answer. It is impossible for God to deny Himself. It is impossible for God to set aside His own attributes in order that He may save such a sinner from that everlasting destruction. But this is just what the sinner has come so to agree with. Oh, he doesn't want it in any other way. For he has come to love those attributes of God. God will have His justice satisfied. And therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Thus it is a wonder that this, with this last question, and that the inquiry here that is not completely cut off, that he does not receive an answer whereby he may not present another question, but he still may begin and may continue to inquire into what? Into that possibility. Into the possibility of the satisfaction of the justice of God. May you ever inquire into this. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? That is our second thought. And that is, congregation, what we always try. We try ourselves first. Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That is out of love. That is out of such good intentions. But it needs to be broken down. Our thought of satisfying the justice of God. So the Lord does. To break this down. How? By letting a man experience what the reality is. By letting a man experience what the guilt and what the corruption of his heart and what his nature is. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. May we ever learn this. That we are not able to satisfy that justice of God. May we ever learn this. Not only with our mind. May we ever learn this by the experience of our life. Because we all confess this doctrine. But do we know this doctrine in the practice? We say there is a people that are mocking with that true church of God, with that church that is in her need, with that church that is in her sincerity as she is laboring to satisfy that justice of God. What do they come with? They come with doctrine. They come with true doctrine. They say that is impossible. You must give it up. You must fall into the hands of the Lord. Yes, that is all true. But congregation, we must be brought there. Because a man does not give it up. And a man does not just fall into the hands of the Lord. A man does not say of his own righteousnesses that they are filthy rags. Who will? No, this place is a place that we must be brought by the experience of our life. By the teaching of God's Holy Spirit, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. That what we learn by experience is well learned. That we are assured of. That we know. Therefore we hear, by no means. And why not? Because the Lord is instructing what this satisfaction of the justice of God is requiring of a man. And then that people need to experience how that the Lord is writing bitter things against them. We read how that a man is given to possess the iniquities of his youth. Thus, not just the present iniquities, not just the present sins, but all the iniquity of his youth, of his past. The justice of God that cannot be satisfied only by an outward reformation. Oh, how often have the people not tried to outwardly reform their life? And then they have to experience that there is no peace, that there is no rest. And why not? Because they learn to experience that righteous judgment of God that is going deeper, that is not only in their outward actions, but that it is proceeding to their words, that is proceeding to their thoughts, that is proceeding to their motives, the innermost recesses of their hearts. Thus, with all their good intentions to make a reformation necessary to learn, and that within there is no good thing, or as whited sepulchres that appear good on the outside, nice, white, and clean children. Go down to the graveyard once, and how nicely it is kept. And what would happen when we would start to dig it up? Then we will begin to see what we don't want to see, and to smell what we don't want to smell. And thus the Lord Jesus says is living in our heart. And this is now the instruction of that Holy Spirit. Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Until what? Until the Lord convinces them that all their righteousnesses indeed are as filthy rags. Until they are given to see from this tree no fruit forever. Till they must say of themselves, a corrupt tree can only bring forth corrupt fruit. Thus, also now this avenue, also this avenue is now cut off for them. No, we cannot. We cannot make this satisfaction ourselves. But how long? How long does it take for a man to learn this in his life? Very often, congregation, that the Lord is working slowly to convince a man of the depth of his depravity. May you ever be cut off by the Lord from your own work. May you ever experience your own impossibility in this way. The Lord Jesus Christ will never become necessary. He will never become precious until we are brought by a bitter experience to an end of ourselves. We will never acknowledge the need of a Savior until this Savior has been undone. Or we will never need to have the redemption price paid by another as long as we have something left that we still may try to pay it ourselves. But now when our way is done, then there is congregation room for another way. Let us sing. Psalter 389, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment, do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. Let's sing only 1 and 4. 1 and 4 of Psalter 389. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Thus, when all our hope in ourself is now taken away, man begins to look for others, but he saves the Lord for last. Man left to himself puts his trust in the creature, Rome, the saints, Mary. How many desire the sanction of God's people? The sanction of a minister? If he would only tell me that, well, it is well with you. Many times those children in grace, those little ones, they are looking up so high unto the fathers in grace. That is that love that is born in that new birth. Desires to be among them, but often is turning into a little bit actually of worshiping of them. Congregation, in man there is only going to be disappointment. Why? Because he is a mere creature. He is nothing but a creature. His opinion and his word, that is the opinion, it is the word of man. Not of the Lord. They can pray for us, and we read in God's word that we ought to ask them to pray for us because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But they cannot save us. Moses was a mediator of intercession. But he was not a mediator of reconciliation. The Lord would not accept Moses to stand in the place of his people. The Lord would not blot the name of Moses out of his book in order that he may accept his people. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed, and further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. It is not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. And why not? Man must be punished, congregation, both in body and in soul. The animals, they have a body, but they do not have a soul. And the Lord cannot punish the angels on our behalf. They don't have a body. And they don't have a soul either. They are ministering spirits. Man also must be punished, we read here, eternally. What creature? What creature is able to come out from under the suffering of the wrath of God? He can enter into it. He cannot come out of it. Because with all the suffering of a creature, the satisfaction of that justice of God is still never satisfied. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? One who is very man, and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is one who is also very God. A perfectly righteous man who is God himself. They are the requirements of a mediator between God and man. Those requirements do not come out of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those requirements come out of God himself. That is the only way that the justice of God may be satisfied, that the wrath of God against sin may be put to rest. Thus, those requirements, they are not set because Christ is both God and man, no. But Christ, he is the answer upon these requirements of the triune God. It is God himself who has asked, "How shall I put thee among the children?" In this Lord's day, the Lord Jesus Christ is not yet revealed in his person. Thus, that mediator, he is still hidden from view. But the necessary qualifications of that mediator are here revealed. Congregation, it was not difficult to make a breach between God and our soul. But how can that breach now be made up again? One taste of that forbidden fruit, and man plunged himself into his misery. But a miracle from God, is necessary to deliver him again out of it. Satan, in a form of a serpent, brought the temptation. Nothing less than God in the form of a man can bring the deliverance. Or whereas the people in our days that are not able to do without this miracle, a mediator. Whereas the people who are burdened because of a separation between God and your soul. Whereas the people that in your inner chamber mourn over this, maybe even without tears. Whereas the people for whom this burden has become more than notion. Whereas the people that are laboring, laboring to satisfy this justice of God, laboring to pay their great debt. Oh, may the Lord give you soon to work yourself to death, to die, to trying to make it right with God. Why? Oh, that you might see how precious, how necessary, how suitable is that blessed Savior. His name is not mentioned in this Lord's Day. And yet this Lord's Day is already speaking about that mediator. When the bride spoke about that mediator, we can read of that answer of the daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, they did not know who that he was. But they begin to ask, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is he turned aside, that we may also seek him with thee? Oh, then, it is sometimes so good for that people that they may be in the house of God. Even though their case, their particular case, that is not yet solved. How is that possible? Although that mediator does not yet reveal himself in his person, still they may be served out of the fullness of that blessed mediator. And so the Lord, he is upholding his church in that difficult time, step by step, to give his people instruction in that way and to draw his people closer and closer unto himself. Is that your life? Then we are confident with Paul that he that hath begun that good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But congregation, if we were never concerned, and we are still never concerned about our separation from God, and we have no desire to return unto him, then when that never changes, we never will need this mediator. What would we do with a mediator if we don't even need to be reconciled unto God? Do you see where our instruction needs to begin? Our instruction needs to begin in the beginning, in the very beginning, that we may experience what our lost state is, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, he may become the chiefest among 10,000, altogether lovely. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, we need that instruction. Oh, not instruction, Lord, by us, but we need that instruction by thee. Thou alone can teach us what we have become. Thou alone can bring home what our wretched and miserable state is, and how deeply that we have fallen. Thou alone can give us to know the great impossibility. Thou alone can reveal that new and that living way. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, remember us and our dear children. Wilt thou remember us in the remainder of this day? Keep us from all sin. And wilt thou give us a desire to be together again on the day of tomorrow? Help us in the preaching and in the hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 110, 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore. But let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have compassed me. My sinful deeds arise, yea, they have overtaken me. I dare not raise my eyes. 110 stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.